Hey, good evening, everybody. Mike Malloy here. How you doing? A lot of snow where you are? Oh, well, there's your proof. There's no global warming, right? All this cold? You know, the thing that really gets me about right-wingers, these nutballs on right-wing television and radio, they can't tell the difference between a weather report and climate change. By the way, our good friend Mark Perkel sent this out today. Listen up. Conservatives are mocking Al Gore and global warming, pointing to the snowstorm burying the East Coast in God knows how many feet of snow. Republican leader Mitch McConnell quipped, "Where's Al Gore now?" and called global warming as snake oil science. What conservatives don't seem to understand is that snow isn't a product of cold. It's a product of moisture. The warmer the planet gets, the more water's in the air. That causes more rain and more snow. It's usually warmer when it snows in the winter than on days when the sky is clear. Maybe if they put down their Bibles and picked up their science books, they might understand that snow happens when it rains through cold air. So, more snow actually is an effect of global warming, not because it's colder, but because it's wetter. You see these freaks? Oh, my God. All the right-wing nuts in... how did we get so stupid? God! How did we get to this point? Members of Congress and people on radio and television talking like just complete jerks. And the right wingers around the country, the people listen to this and watch this going, yeah, see, I knew it. Yeah, I knew it. Yeah, yeah. You tell them, Glenn. You tell them, Sean. You tell them, Rush. You tell them, Mitch. You tell them. Oh, God. Sometimes I wish I believed in God so that I could say, oh, God, please kill these people. All right. Just smite them with your swift sword. Just go through the vineyards and harvest all these grapes. You know, just shoo, 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 shoo. Good God. American Family Association, a cluster fork of right-wing religious nutballs, if ever one existed. AFA.net is their website. They have an alert up. It goes like this. I can't do this with a straight face. You don't believe me? Go to AFA.net. I'm not making this up. Obama's new military. Gays showering with straights. Tell Congress not to overturn the ban on homosexuals in the military. There is no ban on homosexuals in the military, but these dumb bastards don't care. They're typical right-wing freakoid. Whether they're Christian or not, right-wingers lie all the time. February 8th, 2010. Gay showering with straights? Absolutely. You can almost hear the lust in that absolutely, can't you? If President Obama, congressional Democrats, and homosexual activists get their wish, your son or daughter may be forced to share military showers and barracks with active and open homosexuals who may very well view them with sexual interest. Hey, dumbasses, that's happening right now, even as your freaky person who typed this on your webpage. It talk about creating a hostile work environment for people who practice normative sexuality. Normative sexuality? Let's try to guess what that is. Back to the website. As former General Colin Powell observed in 1993, before bowing to pressure of political correctness, quote,
it would be prejudicial to good order and discipline to try to integrate gays and lesbians in the current military structure, end quote.
He compellingly argued against the completely bogus comparison between race and sexual preference. Blah, 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 blah. Both the American Legion and the Veterans of Foreign Wars have come out strongly against overturning the ban.
Dumbasses, there is no ban. Yo, dumbasses, there's no ban.
More than 1,160 retired admirals and generals.
1,160?
strongly opposed the change, saying that overturning the ban would
undermine recruiting and retention, impact leadership at all levels, have adverse effects on the willingness of parents who lend their sons and daughters to military service, and eventually break the all-volunteer force.
End quote.
Hey, dumbasses, there is no ban. Gays and lesbians are in the military now. They really are, and they're showering right next to Christian non-homosexuals, and they may even reach over and go, tickle, tickle, tickle.
Richard Black, former chief of the U.S. Army's Criminal Law Division, citing numerous, quote, criminal records documenting serious offenses being committed frequently by homosexual GIs, calls the ban an essential element of military discipline which must be retained.
There is no ban, dumbasses. There is no ban.
And what crimes? Are you talking about the crimes that heterosexual soldiers commit, like rape, murder, sexual assault? Is that what you're talking about?
I say we ban heterosexuals from the military. That's the way to bring world peace. No more heterosexuals. Get them out. They're destroying cohesiveness. They're ruining, overturning the ban will likely preclude advancement of promotions for officers and chaplains.
Chaplains, see?
Who do not publicly affirm
homosexual behavior,
essentially ending their military careers. If we do not insist that the ban on homosexual military service be retained.
Hey, dumbasses, there's no ban. There is no ban.
Our military will no longer be the place America's families want to send their best and brightest young men and women. Take action! Email your representative senators urging them to oppose the repeal of the ban on homosexual in the military.
Oh, my God. We live in an armed madhouse. Vonnegut came up with that, and Greg Palast wrote a book with that title. We really do. We live in an armed madhouse. This anti-gay thing, though, I mean, it's very easy to really figure it out. These men at the American Family Association are terrified of their own homoeroticism. They're just terrified of it. When they go to their porn sites and, you know, to seek relief, they find themselves, I do believe, paying more attention to the firm, chiseled buttocks of the males than they do the females, who are being firmly chiseled by the buttocks. And it upsets them. You know, this rumor put out there, of course, by the religious right, that the most erotic thing to them is, you know, they talk about this in whispers, is lesbian sex, you know, two women together. No, 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 no. That's the cover story. The real eroticism, now, it would never be male-on-male sex because, you know, once you download that to your computer, uh-oh, it's in there. So just the standard porn sites are what they really, really like because of the firm, chiseled male buttocks. You don't think so? Listen. It is, wait till the new DSM-4, or is it 5? Yeah, is it DSM-4 that's coming out? They're working on it right now, defining terms, removing different categories, adding new ones. Wait till they have a treatable category of homophobia. Yeah, that's the word. Homophobia. You watch. We'll be right back.
The siren of the ambulance, the deadpan of the cops, short to mark the outline where the boy first dropped. Beware the Holy Trinity, church and state and law. For every death the virus gets more deadly than before. Homophobia, the worst disease. You can't love who you want to love in times like these. Homophobia, the
to see you again.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's Mike Malone.
Twenty-one past the hour. Again, it's very difficult for me to deal with people who are anti-gay. Let me rephrase that. It's utterly impossible. I can understand racism in this country because of the history of this country. I can understand an attitude of a genocidal attitude towards different groups who are not Christian and white. That's part of our heritage. That's part of the founders' goal was genocide and slavery and, you know, viciousness, so on and so forth. But I wonder if these right-wingers ever had a clue about Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr and what the duel was all about. But I don't know. I can't get my mind around an anti-gay attitude. I just can't. Oh, in teenage boys, yeah. In kids, yeah, because they absorb idiocy and bigotry and ugliness from their parents and their peers. But adults? But this thing at the American Family is, go look at it, AFA.net. It's astonishing. And the whole thing is predicated on an absolute lie. There is no ban on gays in the military. It doesn't exist. In California the other day, Anthem Blue Cross, the major insurance company, major insurer in California, announced that they were jacking up the rates 39%. It wasn't just the rate increase. They also announced to their customers that they're changing the practice of adjusting rates annually. And as of now, today, this minute, they're reserving the right to raise premiums whenever they feel like it. Every week, every month, every 10 minutes. Does that make any difference? So I get this email from Bob in Kentucky. He writes, not only California, Kentucky as well. My wife and I have the medical insurance from the company she retired from after 35 years. Eli Lilly and Company, Big Pharma. This company's mantra was always, your health insurance will always be paid for. You know, to the employees. She's been retired since 2002. The first year was paid for. Then the next year it was $100. Then next year, $125. Until this year, the premium went up 28% from last year. We live on this pension because I've not been able to find work since being laid off in 2004. I was a computer design engineer, degree in history, but I was over 55, and like it or not, there is age discrimination in hiring, no matter what anyone says. I was not a math major in college, but I can reason that if all the expenses we have keep going up and our income is fixed, eventually we reach a point of critical mass where it would be time to choose another country to live in because this one ain't working anymore. I'm so tired of so-called sternly worded letters. Is that the best this administration can come up with? A letter to Blue Cross, Anthem Blue Cross. Jesus, I could have sent a sternly worded letter, and mine would have the same effect as the administration's. The hearings that are planned will be equally as useless. Here's an idea for something Obama could tell the Congress. Stop freaking around and pass the single payer health bill. Oh, well, I feel better now at least. Thanks for listening. Bob in Kentucky. Oh, my God. Crazy people and ignorant people are running everything. Ah, all the snow means there's no global warming. Don't overturn the ban on gays in the military. You know, they're banned right now. They can't serve in the military. Did you know that? And Congress is thinking about overturning that ban. Oh, God, don't let that happen. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, please, come on. We know you hate queers. Please, Jesus, intercede. This used to be a pretty good, well, to some of us, it used to be a pretty good country. And to the rest of us, it seemed to be heading in the right direction to becoming a pretty good country for everybody, for so-called minorities, for poor folk, for handicapped folks. You know, we're working towards, you know, uneducated folks. We're working towards trying to float all the boats. We really were. We were making an effort, weren't we? You know, public education would never have considered talking about evolution in terms of talking snakes and great big boats that carried everybody whoops and down, whoops, and oh, my God, how the dinosaurs do. Oh, they're okay. They get a little seasick. What about the Anopheles mosquitoes down there in the hold? Oh, they're okay. All the bacteria in place? Oh, yeah, they're slipping and sliding, but they're all right. You know, that never would have been taught in school. We were making an effort, weren't we? And I don't think we can say the effort stopped in 1980 when Ronald Reagan became president. I just wonder, what in the hell happened to us? I mean it. Is this what happens when an empire goes into a curve that you should take at 50 miles an hour, and we were going 90, and we're spinning out, folks, completely spinning out.
One flying monkey at a time. It's more Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. All Republicans, all right wingers can do is lie. That they are incapable of telling the truth. That's why they are such sick individuals. Whether it is this cretinous suicider on Fox, or the loofah man on Fox, or the little parrot boy on Fox, or of course the big one, the pig man, all they can do is lie. Here's another example. Dee Evans in Plano, Texas, wrote in, to a lot of people, but I don't know if anybody's going to pay any attention to her email, so we will. Can we please, please get more people in the media to push back on outright lies when they're thrown right in your face? This morning, excuse me, Republican Kit Bond sat with MSNBC's Chuck Todd and Savannah Guthrie and several other networks and blatantly said that the Obama administration had been leaking the information that Umar Abdulmutallab, the Christmas Day bomber, had been leaking the information that Abdulmutallab had been telling intelligence officials. Well, Dee writes, I sat there patiently waiting for Chuck or Savannah or even the cameraman to correct Kit Bond, and neither said anything. The fact is, this administration has not leaked anything that the attempted bomber has said. What the administration noted was that Abdulmutallab was cooperating and giving good actual intelligence. They've not leaked one word of what this guy's told anyone. Yet Kit Bond, Republican, gets away with his lies, and I promise you that because he got away with saying it, other critics will now pick it up and run with it, and soon everyone will start believing it to be true. Oh, the Obama administration is telling what Abdulmutallab said. See? This is how untruths, Dee writes, get out and get spread throughout the media and ultimately into American homes. When professionals in the media, who people trust to help them separate fact from fiction, sit by and let someone blatantly get away with stating something that is just not true, that's when the truth gets lost and lies take over. Even if you have to come back later on and correct it, so what? I don't care if it's Democrats or Republicans. For the good of your viewers, listeners, and readers, please correct it! a good example of how this should be done. Check out Jon Stewart's The Daily Show from last night, the 9th. When Stewart came back at the end of the show after an interview with Newt Gingrich and corrected a lie that Gingrich had said on the show. Gingrich had stated during the interview that Richard Reed, the attempted shoe bomber, was a U.S. citizen, and that's why he was read his Miranda rights. The fact was that Reed is actually a British citizen. And Stewart, who wasn't certain of that fact during the actual interview, actually came back and corrected that lie at the end of his show. See, that's how you do it. And it's actions like that, which are exactly why, which is why so many more people now watch and trust comedy shows over professional news outlets. Please know that I have the utmost respect for those in the media, and I know that you have a tough job to do, but come on, guys, you can do better than this. D in Plano, Texas. Now, D, I'm sorry to disillusion you, but no. They will not do better than that. Those days are long gone. They're long gone. When a newsman does try to tell an inconvenient truth, like Dan Rather attempted to do, they are drummed out of the business, and then the right wing sits back on its haunches and howls their victory howl. And CBS, a disgusting, filthy goddamn network, who fired him. Fired him, and then he lost his lawsuit. Nah. Sorry, D. The idea of journalistic integrity, with a few exceptions. There are a few exceptions. Yeah, there are just a few exceptions to cause one to pine for the days when journalistic integrity was the rule and not the exception. But no, D, those days are gone. And the horror of the lies told by media are the lies that come as a result of omission. You see, if something is not talked about on the network news, or even on some of the cable news programs, if it's not talked about, then it must not be important. And that's a lie. They're incredibly serious, critical issues that are ignored. To talk about this famous person's death, or that private plane that crashed, or snowstorms. Jesus Christ, of course it's snowing! It's winter! But take a look at the newscasts, will you? I'm talking about the national newscasts. Oh, record-setting snow! Okay, mention it once and move the hell on! 9 minutes out of a 23-minute newscast to go about snow? Those are lies. Don't forget, television's sole purpose, the only function television has, is to make you forget. That's it. Everything else is subordinate to that. To make you forget. Forget what? Forget you're unemployed or underemployed. Forget you don't have health insurance or you're about to lose it because you can't afford it. Forget about the fact that you're underwater on your home. You've been trying to make your mortgage payments, but all of a sudden, your $1,400 a month mortgage payment just went to $2,100 a month, and the value of your house is no longer $350,000. It never was. It's now down to $180,000. So what are you going to do? Don't think about it. Look at the snowstorm. It just goes on and on. Republican Party has given the Obama White House a demonstration of its new muscle. They have 41 senators. That means they are invincible. How did they do that? They rejected a key appointment by Barack Obama. Scott Brown was sworn in, what, last week? And the Republicans just blocked the president's nomination of a union lawyer to join the National Labor Relations Board. Now, the vote was Senator Brown's first since his election last month. Democrats still retain, on paper anyway, a 59-vote majority, 59 to 41, if you include this weasel from Connecticut. But Republican Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, isn't he cute? I'm serious. Let me digress a minute. Doesn't Mitch McConnell look like look like one of those guys. I don't know if some of you males listening to this program have ever been to a bathhouse. Have you?
What? Hell no!
Okay. Have you ever been to a Turkish bath? Let me rephrase it. Ever gone to the Y?
Oh, yeah.
Ever go into a steam room in the Y? They have steam rooms in your Y, like most Ys, they have a steam room?
Yeah.
Well, you ever go in there?
Okay.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, dummy. What'd you think I meant?
Well, I keep my towel around me real tight.
Okay, fine. I don't care. If you don't want people to see your wee-wee, that's up to you. But Mitch McConnell, you know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of a steam room attendant. He really, really, when I look at him, with that little bubble face of his, I can't help but see him standing there handing out towels and gourds of water that you throw on the... Oh, never mind. Obama is attempting to bridge the divide on health legislation by calling for a bipartisan summit with Republican leaders to find common agreement on some parts of the bill. But Mitch McConnell has said his party will use its newfound procedural power. We have 41! We have 41! To defeat health legislation and all White House-backed bills in the lead-up to midterm congressional elections this November. Do you understand this? Huh? Look what they have done to Obama. This is what happens when you have cockroaches instead of senators, when you have creatures that will do exactly as they are told. Exactly.
All right, boys, we're going to vote no on everything. You understand? If Obama proposes that we honor moms, we're going to vote no because it will obviously be an attempt. It'll be an attempt to hide the fact that he is from Kenya. So that's what, now be sure and get that out.
Oh, did you hear today? Obama said he's going to honor moms. Well, moms are already honored. What's up with that? He's trying to hide the fact that he's not an American citizen.
It's very simple. McConnell and House Minority Leader John Suntan Boy Boehner are threatening to boycott any attempt to have a bipartisan summit unless Mr. Obama takes the legislation that has been cobbled together so far and throws it in the nearest commode. Flush it! And they mean it. Boehner and the Turkish bath towel boy. Isn't he cute? That little chubby face is, don't you just... Oh, never mind. They mean it. They will not show up because they have 41 votes in the United by God State Senate. They have 41 votes, which means that the Republican Party is invincible, cannot be defeated. Oh, back to the guy, the union lawyer to get on the Senate, the National Labor Relations Board. His name is Craig Becker. They swore in Senator Brown last week, earlier than planned, so he could take part in saying no to union lawyer Craig Becker. Business groups and Republicans opposed Becker's nomination because he was perceived to be too pro-union. What percentage of the American workforce is unionized? 8%?
But the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping. And I've brought me some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow.
It's about 10 before the hour.
When we finally kiss goodnight.
Thank God global warming is over. Put that lie to rest, didn't we? Ha ha. Backed by business groups, Republicans vigorously opposed the nomination of Craig Becker, the union lawyer, to the National Labor Relations Board because he was perceived to be too pro-union.
union. And what is the National Labor Relations Board? It's an anachronism. It really is kind of functionless right now. The idea was good in one time in this country in the 40s, 50s, 60s, even in the 70s, it still served a function. But now, with, what is it? Seriously, 7%, 8% of the labor force in this country is actually unionized, and most of them are government employees of some sort, state, county, municipal, federal, right? The union lawyer, Craig Becker, probably would have struggled to win the nomination anyway, because two conservative Democrats, here they are again, Blanche Lincoln of Arkansas and Ben Nelson of Hell, joined Republicans in the filibuster yesterday. Only 52 senators voted to end debate and go to the next step of either supporting or opposing the nomination. You know what the Republicans always peed their pants about during the Bush years? We want an up or down vote! We want an up or down vote! Yeah, that was then. So that left the Democrats 8 short of the 60 they need. The Republican Party is powerful! They can get any goddamn thing done they want done, and they can stop anything they want stopped. All they have to do is just threaten. Whatever happened to the nuclear option that the Republicans threatened against the Democrats back during the sick, disgusting, vomitous years of the Bush crime family? Whatever happened to that? Hey, Democrats, yoo-hoo! The decision to reject Mr. Becker was a blow to two big unions, SEIU and the AFL-CIO, for which he had worked. Of course, the AFL-CIO is not a union, even though that's what it says here. It is an umbrella organization. Now, the next test will be how Republicans treat another The next test will be how Republicans treat another Obama nominee to the board, Mark Pierce, a Democrat with a union background. Well, the last guy's a Democrat with a union background. Look, it doesn't make any difference if Barack Obama nominated the head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce to sit on this board. The mere fact that Obama nominated him would cause Towel Boy, Mitch McConnell, and Suntan Boy, John Boehner, to call out the troops and say, no, 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 no. Ain't gonna do it. Have you been reading about the drop in popularity? I don't know why anybody pays any attention to this, but since everyone does, I'll mention it. Barack Obama is now got a 51% approval rating and I think a 46% unapproval rating, or whatever you call the opposite of approval. And his biggest loss has been among independents. Okay. He certainly has lost my support, but given a choice between Barack Obama and the Turkish bath towel boy and Mr. Suntan, I would probably still stay with Obama, in a manner of speaking. But this is how it works. When you have a society where the neo-fascist right controls media. Do they still talk about the liberal media? Still talk about the liberal media. Where the neo-fascist right controls talk radio, talk television, the way issues are framed, the memes that are put out for people to chew on. When it's all controlled by the neo-fascist right, and then that's outside of the legislative branch. Inside the legislative branch, you have a nest of cockroaches who have decided that they will say no to everything this poor klutz in the White House attempts to do. And you know the really interesting part to me? He keeps trying.
Isn't that, no offense, Mr. President, and no offense to really crazy people like Mitch McConnell and John Boehner, but isn't that one of the indications of someone who is mentally unbalanced, if not insane, attempting to make things change by doing the same repetitive thing over and over again? Well, this time it'll work. Nope. Well, this time it'll work. Nope. Well, this time it'll work. Well, this time it'll work. Doesn't the DSM 4 or 3, isn't that a clinical definition of craziness? I think it is. I think it is. This time it'll work. Nope. This time it'll work. Nope. So what is Obama doing? Well, this time it'll work. Nope. Reaching out. Look, I said months ago, why, Obama, I would reach across the aisle to the Republicans, but I would have in my hands two grenades with the pins pulled. I'd hand one to Mitch McConnell and one to John Boehner. Say, there you go, boys. Have fun. But he won't do that. No, he's going to keep trying. Maybe to work this time.
Nope.
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 Maybe to work this time. You get the idea. Stick around. Jesus, just stick around. Paul Krugman, in addition to being a Nobel Prize winner in economics and columnist for the New York Times and professor and so on and so forth, he also writes a blog at New York Times blog site. And he has one up today, Clueless. And he's referencing a lead story at Bloomberg website. And the Bloomberg site contains excerpts from an interview with Business Week. Barack Obama was interviewed by Business Week. And Krugman's point is very simple. How is it possible at this late date for Obama to be so clueless? According to the interview in Business Week and then quoted on Bloomberg, President Obama said he doesn't begrudge, his word, the $17 million bonus awarded to the chief executive of J.P. Morgan Chase, the CEO, Jamie Dimon, or the $9 million bonus that went to Goldman Sachs CEO Lloyd Blankfein. And Obama said that some athletes take home more than that. Oh. Obama, in this interview, said in response to a question that while $17 million is, Obama's words, an extraordinary amount of money, end quote, for Wall Street, quote, there are some baseball players who are making more than that and don't get to the World Series either, so I'm shocked by that as well, end quote. Obama said in the interview that was conducted yesterday in the Oval Office with Business Week, quote, I know both those guys, Blank Fine and Diamond. I know both those guys, and they are very savvy businessmen. He said, I, like most of the American people, don't begrudge people success or wealth. That's part of the free market system. End quote. Obama sought to combat perceptions that his administration is anti-business. You know, because Beck and the rest of these cockroaches are constantly referring to him as a socialist and a communist and a fascist and a, I don't know. So he is talking about the influence corporate leaders have had on his economic policies. He thinks it's good. He plans to restate that message when he speaks to the Business Roundtable, February 24th in Washington. The Business Roundtable is kind of like the National Prayer Breakfast. It is chock-a-block with crazy, predatory capitalists. Many of the heads of many of the biggest U.S. companies are involved in the Business Roundtable. Sounds like Knights of the Roundtable, doesn't it, huh? Oh, my God, Krugman writes. First of all, to my knowledge, irresponsible behavior by baseball players hasn't brought the world economy to the brink of collapse and cost millions of innocent Americans their jobs and or their houses. Krugman writes. And more specifically, not only has the financial industry been bailed out with taxpayer commitments, it continues to rely on a taxpayer backstop for its stability. The planned overhaul. Remember a couple of weeks ago, Truth Seeker, when Obama's talking about, well, we're going to fix this. Yeah, I didn't come into office to have a bunch of bankers destroy everything. This planned overhaul of the U.S. financial rules, I guess it's still in the offing. Anyway, it prompted Standard & Poor's to warn yesterday it might downgrade the credit ratings of Citigroup and Bank of America on concerns that the shakeup would make it less likely that the banks would be bailed out by U.S. taxpayers if it ran into trouble again. Do you hear that? Standard & Poor's, the credit rating company. What? You're gonna fix it so people like Blank Fine and Diamond and the rest of these predators can't walk away with 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, $60 million as bonus? You're gonna do that? Well then, we'll just downgrade the companies. The point is, as Krugman points out, these executives are not free agents who are earning big bucks in fair competition. The reference there is to baseball. And even in baseball, it's a goddamn lie, and you know it is, because of the needle loads of steroids.
But me? No, my arms are just bigger than my thighs because I've been working out. Watch me hit this one into next week. Bam!
No, bank executives are not free agents. They run companies that are essentially wards of the state. This is what Beck and the cockroaches don't tell you. These companies are already socialized. The losses are socialized. We pay for it. You and me. God damn it. We pay for it. But when they make a profit on our money, Blank Fine and the rest of these swine walk away with these huge piles of money. So, regardless of what Beck and the cockroaches are telling the other cockroaches, the ones that listen to them on radio and television,
oh, Obama is a socialist. Obama is trying to take over private business.
Listen, you dummies. It's already happened. Only it's happened in the way that is so bad for you, Mr. and Mrs. Right-Winger.
Well, we love Sarah Palin because she's so real. Oh, we really do.
You dumbasses. Don't you get you? You don't. You really don't. Huh? You have to pay for the losses. And the executives walk away with the profits. And what are you left holding? Well, I would say what the mister is left holding, but I might lose my broadcast license. But that's what they have convinced you people of. Krugman says there's good reason to feel outraged at the growing appearance that we're running a system of lemon socialism in which losses are public but gains are private. And at the very least, you would think that Obama would understand the importance of acknowledging public anger over what's happening. But no! If the Bloomberg story is to be believed, Mr. Obama thinks his key electoral success is to trumpet, quote, the influence corporate leaders have had on my economic policies, end quote. We're doomed. Absolutely. Absolutely. Poor Mr. Obama. Jesus. I thought that kind of faraway look in his eyes when he would give those powerhouse speeches, I thought that was the, that was almost, I don't know what, Socratic? It was like, or even off an old Soviet poster, you know, where you had the three, usually two women and a man, and they had muscled arms and clearly defined jaw lines and thick wavy hair, and they had on bib overhauls and rolled up sleeves, and one would hold a hammer and one would hold a scythe, and another one would hold a slide rule. But they were always looking away from the center of the poster, off into the future. And when Obama would give speeches, I swear to God, not because he's about as much of a socialism as John Boehner is, or socialist as John Boehner is, but there was something about that look. It was looking to the future, right? It was looking to the future. After 8 years of utter and absolute destruction of the country, and the previous 8 years, utter and absolute destruction of our economic system by good old Bill Clinton, and then the knife in the heart by Baby Bush, I thought Obama was, you know, looking beyond the schmeck and the dreck and looking beyond all that, you know. No, not so. Not so at all. He was just kind of, I don't know what he was doing. We are so screwed. Oh, well. All right, we have a break here. We shall return following the break. And matter of fact, we might even open up the phone lines for a while. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Who wrote the Bible? I've seen the nations rise and fall. I've heard their stories, heard them all. But empty as a drum. I don't know why.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy. From those
lands. It's 21 past the hour. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real. Got this out of Army Times from our military affairs correspondent, Sharon Gordy. It's very simple. The Army needs to double its staff of substance abuse counselors to handle the soaring numbers of soldiers seeking alcohol treatment. That's according to General Peter Chiarelli, the Army's number two officer. About 300 more counselors are needed to meet the demand. Chiarelli is the Army Vice Chief of Staff. Last year, 9,000, almost 9,200 soldiers enrolled in treatment after being diagnosed with alcohol problems, a 56% increase over 2003 when the Iraq War started. That's according to Army records released yesterday, Monday. Overall, 16,388 sought some type of counseling for alcohol or drug abuse. Those are the ones that showed up, Truth Seeker. Chiarelli said, quote, there's no doubt in my mind that since 2001 and being involved in two wars, we probably have a higher incidence of alcohol abuse, end quote. Must be those queers in the Army, right? If we could just ban the queers, get them out of the military, all this would stop, wouldn't it? Huh? American Family Association would tell you that. Ooh. Brigadier General Jeffrey Horn, Chief of Army Human Resources and Policy, said, quote, we need the nation's help in finding more counselors. As long as they're not queer, right? The service is currently down 20% from its authorized staffing level of 290. Wow. Alcohol remains a much larger problem in the military than drug abuse. It makes up 85% of the Army substance abuse treatment caseload, according to the Army's Director of Substance Abuse Program. Good Lord. Anyway. Substance abuse, alcoholism, death and destruction and murder and mayhem. Well, according to American Family Association, at least the queers aren't allowed to participate in that, right? Don't overturn the ban on homosexuals. There is no ban, dumbasses. It doesn't exist. Oh, never mind. Speaking of drugs and alcohol, a marijuana bust along the U.S.-Mexico border revealed 30 pounds of reefer stuffed into framed pictures of Jesus. U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency said today in El Paso, the director of the agency's office there said, quote, this is not the first time we've seen smugglers attempt to use religious figures and articles of faith to further their criminal enterprise, end quote. He went on to say, what some might find offensive or sacrilegious has unfortunately become a standard operating procedure for drug smugglers. Authorities said a 22-year-old woman in a Jeep from Juarez, Mexico, told federal Border Patrol officers she had nothing to declare besides the framed art. The officers checked out the vehicle with Cesar, a federal drug-sniffing dog, who alerted them to three framed pictures of Jesus in the vehicle. The officers pulled the backing off the pictures and found... Reefer! The woman was arrested. Doesn't that suck? I don't mean hiding reefer in bundles of reefer in pictures of Jesus. I think Jesus would probably approve. I really do. I really do. You know, marijuana is, isn't it, indigenous to the Middle East where Jesus walked around 2,000 years ago with 12 men? Huh? 13 guys hanging out in the Middle East wearing dresses and sandals and smoking weed. Some of them, you bet. What? You have any doubt? Woo. I think Jesus would approve.
Here, Simon, try some of this. Oh, man.
Right? I think he would approve. What do you think Jesus would do? Would he approve more of smoking reefer or smuggling it in with a picture of him or killing people in Iraq with depleted uranium? I'm talking about unborn people. What do you say? Which do you think Jesus would be most offended by? That's an easy question, isn't it? Of course he'd be most offended by the reefer smoker. According to, like... American Family Association.
Simon, don't bogart it, man. Pass it on. All right, here. James, here.
Oh. What a joke. What a hideous joke. All right, we have another break here. Do we have a... All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have a Prairie 2 report and then to your phone calls. So if you're on hold, stick around. We will chat momentarily. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Yeah.
good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. Okay, let's do a report from our economic affairs correspondent, Bruce Enberg, who writes, the Dow took an early morning plunge on news that the trade deficit was up sharply by even more billions than Wall Street expected. The market did claw back to finish only 20 points down on the rumor that the European Union will bail out Greece. Yay! This was based solely on the observation that an EU finance minister cut short his trip to Australia. To further gin up enthusiasm among the Wall Street traders, the disaster capitalists are circulating gloating soliloquies about the failure of European socialism. Going on and on, how the Greeks and the other pigs countries, that's Portugal, Italy, Greece, and Spain, how the other pigs countries will be brought under the lash of fiscal conservatism, or in plain English, grinding poverty and deprivation. Slashing budgets, eliminating government jobs, and the end of unions will bring many opportunities for privatization and a shift of the tax burden away from business. Where have we heard this before? They are confidently predicting that this will spread throughout Europe, creating the kind of neocon paradise they envisioned for Iraq. Of course, what is really calming the market is the word from the Fed that they will not cut off the free money anytime soon, and the plan they have for drawing money from the credit system should inflation ever return is on indefinite hold. Our central bank has printed $14 trillion to bail out the financial services industry, an industry that produces nothing and drains off the wealth of the middle class as they facilitate the outsourcing of all their jobs. Now they've used their wholly owned Supreme Court to take over the rest of the government on their way to world domination. And right-wingers, they'll tell you, Europe should do things the American way. The Greeks are living the neocon dream, and soon enough, so will we. With new stimulus money off the table, states and local governments will start running out of money soon. The estimate is that when the federal money runs out, 900,000 state and local jobs will have to be cut. This doesn't allow for an ever-shrinking tax base. It will require even more cuts. And as government becomes more dysfunctional, it becomes more inefficient and starts lurching from crisis to crisis. The Republican base that has been told that government doesn't work will find out what that is really like. The rich are already subscribing to private police and private fire services. Better add ammunition and some basic firefighting equipment to your stash of canned goods. Pray to these bastards. These dirty bastards. So what are you going to do, Truth Seeker, huh? We have a Democratic president and a Democratic Congress that is more weighted to the Democratic Party than any time in recent history, right? But the Republicans are so strong and powerful. They have Sarah Palin and Dick Cheney and Glenn Beck and John Boehner and Mitch McConnell. They can beat anything that the Democrats try to put out. They have 41 members of the Senate. 42 when you count the twit from Connecticut. 42 members of the Senate. Why? That means the Democrats only have 58. Oh, well, there you go then. Oh. And Barack Obama still thinks that it's possible to work in a bipartisan way. Well, that's because Barack Obama doesn't give a goddamn about what happens. He's okay. He's got his, Jack. Well, I've got mine, Jack.
I'm all right. I don't know what to tell you, Jake. I'm all right. Got mine. I'm a president.
What a disappointment. What a sad disappointment. And not because this is the part that just pisses me off so bad. I just want to spit bullets
in a certain direction towards the Republic. Never mind.
What has me so pissed off is that Obama is Bill Clinton, cut from the same cloth as Bill Clinton. He's a capitalist of the worst sort. Who mouths progressive or ancient Democratic Party principles, but there's no there, and yet these swine, the scum, the cockroaches on the right in media and government continue to label him a socialist, a communist, and the only reason they do that is because they know that the people who suck up their words like so much swill believe them, because the people who follow Mr. Beck and Mr. Limbaugh and the rest of these cockroaches are so stupid, so incredibly ignorant, that it's easy to tilt their heads back, step on their feet so their jaws open, and cram this stuff down their throats, and they actually believe it. You know what I want? I'm going to tell you. I came close to it during the campaign when I said, why not let McCain win? Give it to the son of a bitch. Let the country go down in flames, and maybe then we can restore it. I'm getting closer and closer to where I really, really want to see that happen. Let the Republicans take over. Bring the goddamn thing down. Come on. Come on. We're flying with empty gas tanks. We had four engines. Two of them are flamed out. The other, we had another one stalled. We're flying on one engine. Huh? Let's let this mofo crash. Let's just bring it down. Let it crash. Bring in the Christians and the Republicans. Bring them in. And the liberals and the progressives and the people that still have brains, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to arm ourselves and take to the hills, right? Ah! Let the Republicans have it. Give it to them. Give it to them. I want the Republican droids in this country. The ones who insist,
well, Sarah Palin, she tells the truth. I like her because she's real.
I want them to find out what reality is like. I really do. I can handle it. I will survive because I know how to eat things like roots and berries and small animals. Kathy looks at me and goes, oh, Jesus, you're not talking about that again. Oh, Lord. How did this happen? How did such a decent idea, I'm not talking about the framers put together, a decent idea that developed over a couple of hundred years, liberty, equality, fraternity, that was the French. Well, what the hell? How did that go so sour? How did we get to the point? We live in a society, where did I hear this? On it was either Oberman or Rachel tonight. Because the framers of our Constitution, who were slavers and genociders still, because they feared more than anything religion and its corrupting, poisonous, death-dealing mechanisms, they tried to separate church and state. And as a result of that separation, a society did develop here that has had, compares to anybody on earth in the entire history of the earth. There has been more religious freedom in this country, more interaction between religions that in other parts of the world in other times would have cut each other's goddamn throats and laughed as the blood saturated the sand. But not here. See, not here. The Jews, the Christians, the Muslims, the whoever, here in the United States, where there was separation of church and state guaranteed in the First Amendment, religion has flourished much to the detriment of the United States. Because now, look, you know, you don't hear the Muslims in America talking about, well, we got to get rid of the Christians and Jews. You don't hear the Jews talking about, well, we got to get rid of the Muslims and the Christians. What do you hear? You hear these filthy, putrid right-wing Christians talking about labeling everybody else as sick and degenerate. I hate you people. I hate your religion. I hate your avatars. I hate everything about you because you are so vile and disgusting and mean and hate filled. And I just truly wish there was just this moment of, you know, when everybody dies, if there was just that moment where you have some sort of post-death consciousness where all of a sudden you look around and go, well, son of a bitch, it is just a big void. Oh, no.
Before the hour,
RB is in Calgary, Saskatchewan. Hey.
Hey, how are you?
Well, I'm getting by okay. I understand you people don't have any snow up there.
No, it's not true. Lots of snow.
Oh, I guess it's just in Vancouver, huh?
Yeah, Vancouver is, well, this is the thing, Nathan, it's the climate change. Vancouver usually has lots of snow up there, mountains and everything, but for some reason this year they're low on it. But here in the prairies, we have lots of snow, cold weather. But I'm in Calgary right now, and that's a weird part of the world. We get Chinooks here, and right now it's really nice and balmy out, actually.
What's a Chinook?
It's a warm wind coming over the mountains from the west.
Oh.
And it settles into Calgary, which is basically in a big basin.
Oh.
It used to be the bottom of a great lake back in the, you know, the right-wing Christians don't believe happened back in the Jurassic area.
Right.
And it used to be a big lake here, and we find fossilized fishes and everything.
Nah, that's a trick. That somebody is trying to trick you poor Canadians.
Satan put them there.
But anyway...
I want to thank can you thank Kathy for Nora Jones on the
yeah, I love Nora Jones, man. That was a good choice tonight.
That keeps people on hold relaxed, I tell you.
Yeah, I think so too.
I got a couple things about the Super Bowl, which I watched, the halftime show there. When Pete Townsend's button broke open and his big fat belly started hanging over.
God, that's when I just went up and said, all right, time to go to the bathroom. Oh, my God.
That's a wardrobe malfunction, a major malfeasance.
Roger Daltrey, somebody ate Roger Daltrey and put that thing out there. And that looked like Daltrey. That was horrifying.
It was a robot. I don't know what that hair was made of.
Oh, my God. I saw The Who in Atlanta in 1975, and I got blown away. It was the first time I ever saw a laser show. And last night, that's the only time I saw him live in person. And on Super Bowl night, I saw that, and I went, oh, no, no, no.
And then like I said, I told Kathy I'd rather see Janet Jackson's nipple than Pete Townsend's navel any day. I don't know. where's the people up in arms, about Pete Townsend's navel? Come on.
Is this why you called in?
Oh, the other reason I called is the irony of the fact that they ended with the song, Meet the New Boss, Same as the Old
right,
Boss, Don't
right.
Get Fooled Again, when we have been fooled again,
yeah.
over and over and over again, we've been fooled again.
Well, that was the hope, and they recorded that back in, what, 60-something?
It was a rock opera recorded in 69, about the time of the Vietnam War, and, you know, Nixon was going to end it, he came in, and they kept bombing, you know.
You know, that was, since you brought it up, that was just killer stuff. Watch, it was a great light show. I liked the light show, but it was just horrible to see those guys. You know, I have enough trouble every morning when I get up and look in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't need to see them, you know.
My God, they should not be doing that. That's wrong.
No. Diane Townsend swinging his arm around like that. I mean, yeah. You know, I was waiting for it to fall off. You know,
well, he did. I was very disappointed he didn't break his guitar at the end. And how come Roger Daltrey didn't throw his microphone stand through the drummer's kit? I was very disappointed. That was the whole point of the band.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, RB, if Townsend would have started smashing his guitar on the stage, I mean, I would have, I don't know. I don't know what I would have done. I would have started smashing my television.
But all these young people now watching that and going,
what?
Probably not, you know, but not understanding what the song was about and the irony of that song being played now when,
right.
You know, these guys are totally sold out commercially.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
And they're playing this song, which is a protest song, but they're playing it as if it's some kind of like rock anthem and it's hot. I don't know.
It's just awful.
Terrible.
I just want to go home. I swear to God, I've had enough time out here on the prairie. I just want to go home.
Anyway, thanks for keeping us all upbeat up out here, eh, Mike?
Okay, RB. Enjoy the Chinook.
I will.
All right, take care. I thought that was a salmon. I just about lost it when, I knew it was going to be rough to see Daltrey and Townsend. Who's the guy on drums? Who was that guy? I had the impression he was waiting outside, waiting for somebody to scalp him a ticket. And somebody came up and said, hey, you want to play drums with us? Yeah. All right, man. What? Won't get fooled again. Yeah, I know how to do that. Pete Townsend. And Roger Daltrey. God, that was a million years ago, wasn't it? Have they found Jesus yet? Or are they still wandering around in the wilderness, following all these false gods? I don't want to know. Sanchez is in Montbello, California, listening on KTLK, Sanchez.
Well, drawing a parallel between Jesus and your previous reefer story,
yeah.
Every time I light up a reefer, I see a little Jesus.
You? Well, that's the whole idea.
Yeah.
That's the whole idea.
That was so blatantly obvious. I didn't see why anybody wouldn't see the
connection. I don't either. I read something one time, the theory that that Jesus was, the whole Jesus thing was a result of these guys doing the peyote in the
yep.
Golan Heights.
Yes.
You know, and just finding this incredible substance and chewing on it and being convinced that all of a sudden instead of 12 of them, there was 13. And the 13th guy was this magical son of a cloud being. And,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I really don't care. But it's kind of interesting. The if the religious folk would just understand that so much religion comes from those moments of chemically induced ecstasy. I'm not talking about, pills. I'm talking mm-hmm. about natural substances. That's where it all comes from, isn't it?
Yes.
Hey, listen, Sanchez,
okay.
Let me put you on hold.
Okay.
We'll do a break and we'll come back and chat. And we'll talk with anyone who wants to call in tonight, unless you're a right-winger. If you're a right-winger and you live where there's like 52 inches of snow, I'll tell you what. Strip naked and go outside and play for a while, okay? For about an hour. We'll see you when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. 7 past the hour. Okay. Calgary is in Alberta. I said Saskatchewan, I think. Thanks for the correction. And also, okay. Who sent this in? Panamaniac. Mike, the drummer was Zach Starkey. Yes, Ringo's son, who's been playing with him for a while now. And he's a geezer like me. He's about 46. Ringo's son is 46? Okay, so thanks for the information. But I still say that Townsend and the other one ought to... Pack it in. Forget about it. They're not the Rolling Stones. Those guys are not Mick Jagger. It looked ridiculous. It sounded like hell. Not only can Daltrey no longer sing, you can't do it anymore. You can't do stuff in your 60s that you did in 20s with your vocal cords. It can't be done. It sounded ridiculous. It sounded disgusting. It was a parody of what they used to do. And as far as Pete Townsend with the swinging arm, give it a rest, old man. Sit down. Shut up. Do something else. But don't stand up on a stage in front of 600 million people on television and act like you think it's still 1969 and you're 22.
You sound kind of angry at him.
Well, I am. I am.
Singing poorly or for getting old?
Oh, stop. Come on. I got a little spate of emails here about people saying, well, why are you making fun of them? I'm not making fun of them. They're making fun of themselves. I'm just saying, that was 50 years ago, 45 years ago. Stop. Stop it. If people want to listen to The Who, for Christ's sake, go back and listen to The Who, not those two parodies that stood on that stage. That was not The Who. What?
Well, I want to know what what Carrie Underwood's excuse was. She's not old. That was the worst rendition of the Star-Spangled Banner ever heard.
Well,
I know, I can just hear now. Well, I can't hear myself when I'm in the middle of a big stadium. You know, I didn't think she was an awful singer before.
Yeah, you do now,
until
though.
Until now.
Well, be careful now. Somebody will say, what, you don't like America? Good.
I love the Dixie Chicks.
Yeah, well.
Wish they'd sung.
Uh-huh. Do I have anything against... old people? Hell no. I hope someday to be one. I have a lot against old rock and rollers who don't understand that that was then, this is now, and to stand up there and sing about a pinball wizard, A, makes no sense, B, you can't do it anymore. So rather than become a parody, oh, look, everybody, this is a parody of a rock singer. Look, wow, isn't this pathetic.
It should be what, an Xbox wizard?
Yeah, an Xbox wizard.
Nintendo wizard?
A Wii wizard. That's more alliteration to that. Xbox wizard. I'm an Xbox wizard. And Daltrey looked like he had just drunk a whole gallon of bad coffee, you know, and didn't know, where's the bathroom? Does anybody know where the bathroom is or all the deal? This blinking stadium, but now we ain't going to take a pee.
The lights were beautiful, though. Well, it was a gorgeous light show.
Oh, sure. It was great.
It made me sad because they just kept flashing the who on those little spikes. And I kept thinking they were just trying to remind them so they wouldn't forget
who they are. Yeah.
Who are you? I don't know. Where am I? Are we near a toilet?
When do I get my Viagra? Hey, look, groupies.
Who are you? No, really. Who are you? Have we met?
Who are you?
Crack.
You listen to those voices. Come on, guys. Hang it up. It was great.
It's an anthem to Alzheimer's.
It was great, great entertainment, 45 years ago. Now it's just pathetic. It's pathetic.
Meet the new boss every day.
Every day.
You'll never remember it.
Oh, wait a minute. Sanchez is in Montbello. All right. I'm sorry, Sanchez.
Yes, and that's
that's one reason, as a DJ spinning current world music, electronic, and other modern forms of music, that's why the youngsters call it dinosaur rock.
That could be.
And addressing Walter Daltrey drinking bad coffee, you see what happens when you don't drink Super Beans?
That's true. That's true.
Now, so, at any rate, getting back to the subject at hand here, it's like a broken record for me, dealing with the Democrats. I wish to go back and use one of my favorite analogies that I like using with you, the Harlem Globetrotters versus the Washington Generals. And normally the Harlem Globetrotters are the Republican Party.
Right.
And the Washington Generals, of course, with Obama as the star player, are the Democratic Party at this point. I've been looking at this from outside with a clear view of everything for quite a while here, and I don't see any changes happening up until the next election cycle. Nothing at all, Mike, is going to happen, because whenever you go to see the Harlem Globetrotters versus the Washington Generals, both of those teams are being paid by one company.
There you go.
And in this case, that is the corporatocracy, which has just been given undue amounts of power thanks to the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, people keep saying, and I keep listening to pundits and news writers and a lot of the hosts on all of progressive radio shows, and they're still holding faith in this Democratic Party and these Washington Generals, that somehow or another they're going to have the guts to take and use the power of reconciliation, when that is never going to happen. And the reason for that is the second that the Democrats split from, or in this case, the Washington Generals try to split from the company that pays them, well, they're going to be out in the cold. They're going to be seen as anti-corporate, and they're not going to be able to finance themselves in the next election cycle. So, everything is on hold. Healthcare, you see that they're pushing through things for the war. Nothing's going to happen in that respect. Iraq has not changed, despite the fact they said that they are. We still have contractors in there. We still have funds missing. We're not holding the previous administration accountable for anything. Nothing is going to happen because they don't want to upset their gravy train.
Right.
Perhaps I was hearing a special story over the weekend on one of the public radio stations. I heard at some point the Washington Generals actually won a few games versus the Harlem Globetrotters. It is possible. But, you know, they're not going to bite the hands that feed them. And until you stand up and realize and take a good, hard look at the people that are representing you in Congress right now, that's the situation. So All the rest of this is just merely talk. And to me, it's just frustrating, because this is where it is. This is the sad truth to everything right now, Mike. I mean, I know that you feel the same way, basically. But, you know, there's still a lot of progressive hosts out there that there are thinking that somehow or another Obama giving away 90% of the farm and the family jewels to the Republicans is going to make them cooperative. No, not until they get 100% of the jewels will they even be satisfied. And at this point, the corporatocracy controls everything.
Right.
The media, the financial system, the government, the Supreme Court. That is why the Republicans are acting with impunity. In Spanish, I say they're behaving like zurrados escuincles, which is spoiled little brats. And that's the reason why. They don't have to know the facts. All they do is take their talking points from the corporatocracy, and that's all they need to know.
Or they're acting, and how do you say this in Spanish, like generalissimo. How do you say that in Spanish?
Como un general.
Oh, okay. Como general?
Sí.
Yeah, well, that's what they're acting like. Spoiled little 5-year-olds, maybe so, but they understand where the power is. The Republicans understand that this country is so stupid. We have become so ignorant, so absolutely out of touch with our own destiny. We don't have one anymore. And the Republicans understand this because they don't have a destiny. They don't have a goal either, except to impose some kind of a religio-fascist attitude and form a government on this country. It's common sense as surely as Ringo Starr's son is the drummer for The Who.
Boy, we're getting old.
I gotta go. Thanks, Sanchez.
All right, man.
Stay in touch. Yeah.
to the Flying Monkey Right. It's Mike Malloy.
Past the hour, Mario writes in, The Who, half the band is dead, for God's sake. They should change their name to Who's Left. And Mark in Manhattan, The Who are so old, the last line should be, meet the new nurse, same as the old nurse. And then I've got some emails from people are just, you know, just being real dork chokes, you know, like, well, that's a Who. What the hell's wrong with you? Oh, get over yourself. Anybody who is in the rock and roll, singing, entertainment, standing on a stage, playing a guitar, shaking their heads and their asses game, should not do it when they're in their 60s, unless it's Mick Jagger. Why? Do I like Mick Jagger? Hell no. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me about Mick Jagger, except for the fact that he's still thin and lithe and moves around and jumps and yells and still has his voice. But Daltrey and Townsend, that was the worst, a classic example of what you shouldn't do if you're an old rock and roll performer. Just give it up. I mean, come on. There, you know, it says in the Bible, there's a time for everything. Jeez. Floyd is in Gulfport, Mississippi. Hey, Floyd.
Hey, Mike. I'm sitting here listening, thinking about what you're saying. I saw that the other day, and
How did it affect you?
Well, I've been playing professional music for 40 years, so I don't think I would have the guts to
do that. Oh my God!
I'm sitting here with my son. First of all, this girl that comes out and sings from American Idol, I'm going, Jesus, who's this?
Oh, I know, I know.
She can't even stay on key, and I said, you know, they need someone with some soul, someone with some feeling, you know.
Yeah.
And then to watch the Who come out, it was like seeing the cartoon at the end of the movie.
right. That was I used to love the Who. Well, not really. They were never my favorite. In the top 10 back in the day of all those classic, wonderful rock and roll acts.
Right.
They were out there maybe 11th or 12th. But good God, to do that now, and I don't know whose idea that was. As somebody suggested an email to me, it's because of the motto of the Saints. You know, Who dat? Okay, Who dat? It the Who that? Who dat is? But
you wouldn't think about that.
I wouldn't have thought of that either. I think the guy sent me the emails probably smoking a little bit too much tonight. Yeah. But you know, oh well, Lord. But
well,
I mean,
you know,
you've got to be able to criticize. Let me put it this way: when Frank Sinatra was getting close to 80, I went to a concert in Atlanta to hear him sing. And it was one of the saddest, most creeped out nights I think I've ever had because, you know, I've got a lot of Sinatra music. Like most people, you listen to the classics from the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and into the 70s. And then all of a sudden, here he was in the early 90s or whenever it was. Maybe it was the late 80s, early 90s. I know he's been dead for a while, but listening to him and watching him live at a venue here in Atlanta, and it was awful. It was horrifying. And what was really horrifying about it was that all those classics that everybody, three generations identified with Sinatra, he had to read the words off a teleprompter that was placed on the floor. He had three, as a matter of fact, there were three of them. He did a performance in the round, more or less. The audience was all around him. And there were three, I could see three teleprompters giving him the words. And it was like, please, Frank, don't, don't do this. And that's the same with the Who. What the hell are they doing?
I was telling my son, you know, I said, I'd be willing to bet these guys that Townsend and Roger actually played for free. I doubt very seriously. I mean,
yeah.
They could have gotten, I mean, you know, and I, I'm like you. I didn't get into them in the early ages. I was into Pink Floyd and the Beatles and all that. But later I started appreciating more their music. But, geez, man, I was really depressed after seeing them the other day. You know? But, you know, I wanted to ask you about something. Have you been keeping up with this? Don't want to change subject here, but I haven't heard you talk about it. Are you familiar with this Senator Shelby over there in Alabama?
Oh, yeah. He's got a hold. I read something the other day that he's decided to lift the hold, but he had a hold on every single Obama appointee because he wanted to give $100 million worth of tax money business to a foreign company.
Yeah, and he had just testified in front of all the Senate with a big gathering they had not too long ago that the socialist Obama was spending too much money. What hypocrisy.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, Richard Shelby is like Jeff Sessions. I mean, both of them.
Racist, both of them.
Oh, they're just marble-headed freaks who every time they talk, it reminds me of somebody with a mouthful of Mississippi mud just trying to make sense. It makes no sense at all. Floyd, I got to leave there. Thanks, pal.
Hey, good to see you. Good talking to you.
All right, hope to hear from you again. Take care. We'll be back. Stay with us, y'all.
It's Mike Malloy.
About 25 before the hour. Mark is in Philadelphia listening online. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. I just want to make a point or two and then ask you a question. You know, Frank Sinatra's heyday was what, like 1954?
Yeah, probably.
And then he was made irrelevant by 1964?
Yeah.
So a new generation pretty much said, okay, you had your day, you're gone. The baby boomers are the only generation that have, you know, they've forced dominance on everything that we've been doing for years after they've already been made irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, playing all of these, I mean, look at the Grammys, which has always been a joke, to the point where The Simpsons even made a joke about it. All these old people being nominated because that's who buys records, old people. You see, and I just have a question. Just a few artists of the past 20 years, like Sufjan Stevens, Boards of Canada, Animal Collective, Elliot Smith. Have you even heard any records by these guys?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, and, you know, these are pretty big sellers for the independent movement.
Right.
Sufjan Stevens' Illinois album was judged the best album of 1996. I mean, it's...
Yeah, those names are as foreign to me as... the big rock acts were foreign to my grandparents, say.
Yeah.
but that's just the way it goes. I mean, every generation has or should have its own music. You're right. The baby boom generation, which was the biggest generation in terms of raw numbers, up to the point that they came into existence. There is a bigger generation out there now. I think there's 90 million. There were like 70 million baby boomers. There's like 90 million in the so-called millennial generation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm only 35, and I grew up having, you know, been force-fed the baby boomers until I heard, you know, Daydream Nation by Sonic Youth in 1988, and I went, wait a second, music actually can be exciting.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Listen, thanks, Mark. I appreciate what you had to say. Being part of that generation that wrote the book on rock music, two things. I make no apologies for my appreciation of rock music. On the other hand, the so-called classic rock. And I realize, Mark said, there are a lot of bands out there I've never heard of. And that's simply because I don't listen to music, the way I used to. I'm just not interested in popular music. Pop music, the way one is when one is a certain age. That's not hard to figure out. But what is pathetic to me, really, really, really pathetic, two groups where it concerns aging rock and rollers. The ones who can't do it anymore, like those two clowns at the Super Bowl, A, B. And the other pathetic group are the ones who are big apologists for him, who say, well, now, wait a minute. You know, that was a who. What the hell do you know? Look, that was then. This is now. Get over yourself. You know, again, the music, the so-called rock music, I was around, like a lot of people listening to this program, were around during the birth of rock and roll. We know how it came into being. We remember Bill Haley and the Comets. We remember this stuff. We know how it came into being, how it evolved. And God bless every single one of them. I hope every one of them gets in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Just stop getting up on the stage at the Super Bowl in front of half the planet's population and destroying the mystique of rock singers and rock and roll. That's my point. And anyone who makes a big apology for these guys and says, well, you know, get over yourself. That's the who. Bite me. These are old rock and rollers who can't do it anymore. If there are rockers out there like Springsteen just turned 60, fine, carry on. There's a whole list of rock and rollers who are in their 60s that do just fine. I'm talking about Townsend and Daltrey. They were caricatures of themselves. It was a farce, and it should not have happened. Now, stop with all the emails. I really don't give a damn about Daltrey and Townsend, except for the fact there they were, and I remember them from 40 years ago, like most people do, when they were alive. These guys were not alive. They were, I don't know what they were. Somebody put wires in their butts and ran in, 110 volts and made them jump around on the stage and pretend like it was 1969. It's not. God. Boy, how to piss people off, right, Kathy? Just point out the truth. That's true in rock and roll or politics, isn't it? Point out the truth. Non-Crazy Tom in Bullhead City, Arizona. Are you related to Crazy Tom?
Yeah, he's in my psycho world.
He's in your what world?
My psycho world.
Oh, your psycho world. I thought you said cycle, like maybe he cycles in and out of your head or something. But that's no. Okay. What's up, non-crazy Tom?
I've got some good news.
Yeah.
I've got a personal friend of mine running for Congress.
Yeah.
His name is John Rasher.
Yeah.
RASHER.com. JohnRasher.com. And he is running against, guess who? Trent Frank. The birther movement. You know who that guy is, right?
Yeah, the birther movement, right.
Yeah, he is a Democrat, a liberal, progressive Democrat.
Yeah, and what does he say?
Oh, you have to go to JohnRasher.com.
I don't have time, non-crazy Tom. What does he say? Does he agree with the birthers that Obama is a Kenyan?
No, this is one of us. He is one of us.
Oh, God.
So, yes, he's one of us in a desperate situation where, you know.
Did you ever see Todd Browning's movie Freaks? It was made in the 30s, and that's a line from the movie. One of us, wiggle woggle, one of us.
I've been down that road.
Yeah. Well.
No. He's okay. I'm crazy. please. What I want to do is get and he has agreed to contact you, and I'm going to.
Okay, all right, give him the email address, and we'll see what we can do, non-crazy Tom. You know, I'll talk to these people, although I'm not supporting Democrats anymore. But we'll give him some airtime, I guess. I don't know. I don't even know why I should do that. But it just as a favor to you, non-crazy Tom. Thanks, man. Appreciate you checking in, all right? Charles, our Fairfield, southwestern Fairfield County, Connecticut bureau chief, writes in and says, on ancient rockers, Grace Slick was right when she said, quote, I see trying to jump around and act like a 20-year-old when you're 60 is being sad, end quote. Charles writes, if Mick Jagger falls, let's hope he lands on his lips so he doesn't break a hip. Yeah, okay. God. The Who. Meet the new nurse, same as the old nurse. That's good. Mark in Prairie-du-Sac, Wisconsin writes, Mike, I think you're on the right track with these right-wingers, right down to their twisted sexual dysfunction. I think it is something akin to the Spartan age, where Spartan boys were kept to be trained in the arts of war and the, quote, manly art of love, end quote. Makes sense, since the entire Republican population, male and female, is drooling over Scott Brown. I seem to remember something I read 35 years ago, and everything you wanted to know about sex but were afraid to ask, in its discussion of homosexuals, that well, I can't say that on the air. That the whole homo fetishism fixation looms large in Republican psychosis. Of course, any sinning that Republicans engage in is all pre-forgiven because they are all, of course, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Interesting that when a Democrat is caught with his pants down, a la Eliot Spitzer, he has to resign. But all the right-wingers are welcome back to the fold with open arms and applause. I'm close to being convinced that the old saw about political death being occurs when one is found with a live boy or a dead girl wouldn't apply to them. Hell, they could be found with dead boys, be forgiven and reelected with a ringing endorsement from the entire Fox team and the religious right. Sorry for the run-on sentences. Just trying to keep one leap ahead of the butterfly net. Mark. Ah!
I made a lot of mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes. You came to take us. All things go.
Play this 10 before the hour. Yeah, okay. All right. Thank you very much. Perez is in Santa Rosa listening on Green 960, Santa Rosa, California. Hey, Perez.
That's right. Hi, Mike. How are you, buddy?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm okay. I had a little migraine today, but I wanted to, I'm glad she paid that little snatch of that once band that was trying to be like the Rolling Stones. But anyway... And they never made it, in my opinion.
Yeah, really.
You know,
yeah.
But and I couldn't believe. But here's the reason they had him on the Super Bowl, Mike. Do you remember what network the Super Bowl was on this year?
Yeah, CBS.
That's correct.
Okay.
Crime Scene Infinitum. Those shows with that music are on that network. There's your
reason
right there. That's it.
Yeah, see, I've never seen any of the crime scene stories because we're working,
I understand.
In prime time. So they play
They
play the Who music?
They have CSI Duluth, CSI Rock Springs, they got them all now. But anyway, that's the reason for it, buddy, right there. Advertising tie-in. That's the only reason for it right there.
Well, I don't get it. The Who, they use, that's the theme
they
music?
They use their music for the opening of all three of the CSI shows. CSI
Las
Vegas.
Oh, I get
it.
Who are you? I see.
That's it. And Bob
Bingo!
O'Reilly.
Bingo! Light bulb goes off. All right.
That's it, Mike.
Yeah.
And also, I want to take issue with your caller who said old people buy records. I think it's better that these be redirected.
Yeah.
His bitterness should be redirected, in my opinion. I'm a musician. The first thing that ruined music, one of the first things was, besides the music business, mm-hmm. as Joni Mitchell used to say, "Star Making Machinery," churning out another popular song.
Right.
But anyway, is music videos that began the destruction of real music and real musicians. That actually, an American Idol is the worst thing that ever happened to music.
American
ever.
Idol.
Yes.
Why?
Because they make people think, oh, they could have picked me. In other words, it's a problem with the self-esteem. Everybody's worried about the self-esteem. Entertainment, yeah. music is all geared toward everybody being comfortable to think they could do it if they just got picked and chosen.
Mm-hmm.
When they can't believe that there's people smarter, prettier, or better musicians than they are.
Yeah.
Somehow that's not allowed anymore to actually have to face the fact of your life because you're not as smart or successful or as beautiful or handsome as someone.
That's part
of it right there, Mike.
Yeah, I have to deal with that every day where it concerns Tom Hartman.
Oh, God. Well, I'm telling you, he has become a lot less of a milk toast, but he's not perfect either, Mike.
Well,
and that reminds me, I wanted to talk about the Senate and also who composes the record-buying public to that caller. Frank Zappa said it perfect. The record-buying public can be symbolized perfectly by a 14-year-old girl. I know two friends of mine own an independent record store, and who do you think most mice to the concert tickets and the records in that store?
14-year-old girls?
It's not old people.
Yeah.
I resemble that remark.
Yeah, I know. Me too. All right.
But anyway, I want to talk about Harry Reid. One of the problems with the Senate, that spineless guy never makes them actually filibuster. Be educational. They say, oh, there'd be a distraction. It would be an education to this country, just like the impeachment trials would have been.
Yeah.
Educational and beautiful to see, man.
Well, Harry Reid is the last person that should be the Senate Majority Leader for the Democrats, but he happens to be there, and that's 90% of the problem right now, I think. Hey, I got to leave there. Thanks, Perez. Appreciate it. Take care, pal. Yeah, Hartman has been, I've been tutoring him on how to, as Perez says, he's not so much of a milquetoast. Tom was never a milquetoast. He's just, he's just like Obama, in a sense. He wants to find nice resolutions to complex problems. And, you got to admire that. I like Tom Hartman a lot. I think he makes perfect sense. I'd love to hear him demolish right-wingers on his program. He'll have a guest on who represents some weird, screwed-up right-wing position, and Hartman is real good at taking him apart screw by screw. But Hartman has been, we've been having long telephone tutorials where I've been teaching him how to cuss. He didn't know that there were curse words, so I've been teaching him that there are words that really don't have any meaning. They're expletives, and they just add emphasis when you can't think of the proper word to use. And Tom's been a good student. He really has. I taught him how to say son of a bitch, and I thought he was going to lose it. He said, well, this doesn't have anything to do with female dogs. I said, no. It's an expletive. It's what you say when, but it's been a lot of fun because Tom and I finally found a level on which we can really communicate, and that is the level of a tutorial on cursing. And it works great. No, I like Tom, like his program. I really do.
Robert's in San Francisco listening on Green 960. Hey, Robert. Hey, we got
I got a good movie review. I just saw Mel Gibson's The Edge of Darkness. If you remember Valerie Plame and Sybil Edmonds,
right?
The head of worldwide head of the U.S. Weapons of Mass Destruction Task Force, and Sybil Edmonds, the translator for the FBI. Well, allegedly, people in the State Department under Bush, the neocons, and maybe even Denny Hastert were involved in offering weapons technology to corporations in the U.S. had for sale. This is what they tried to shut her up about, Sybil, and why they outed Valerie to make sure that she couldn't bust them for it. But if you watch the movie, you'll find there's a beautiful cop and a beautiful national security agent in the film, and how it finally plays out. But I know you're heavily armed. Don't take your guns to the theater. Don't want to shoot the screen up.
Okay, thanks, Robert. I got to go, man. We're flat out of time. Thanks a lot. Take care. I'll see you tomorrow night, Two Seekers. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.